But just for a minute, and let's get right into the word of the Lord in Romans chapter 8. Amen. Romans chapter 8 speaks about the manifestation of God's sons coming forth upon the earth. And we understand how important it is for us to connect with God's purpose. When you understand God's purpose, then it gives you a purpose yourself. And in doing so, it gives you direction. It's like the counsel of God comes to us when we finally have purpose, because then God leads us. It says in Romans chapter 8, in verse 14, that for as many years led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Then you look down in verse 23. It says, not only those, but we that have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. It goes down to verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Everybody say, His purpose. Yes. Let's ask the question this morning, what is the purpose of God for the church?
To reveal Himself.
Oneness. To reveal His kingdom. Jesus came to the earth. He said, the kingdom of God is here now with you. That's who I am. I'm a representative of the kingdom. And so we are to be the representatives of the kingdom as well, aren't we? So our purpose is to represent the kingdom of God as sons of God. And he goes on to say that, and it's beautiful, because he said that if he foreknew us, he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. So it's kind of neat to know that everything that's happening in your life is bringing you into conformity to an image. We're being brought into a conformity to an image of someone else. That gives me great comfort in this sense. If it were dependent upon me to produce this or to be this, then I would be the first one to agree that the conclusion would be very lacking in what it could do. But when we turn our hands to God and we understand that He is performing this in us, it brings a whole different light to what we are. Because it's not by what I am, but it's not by might nor power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. So what God is bringing forth on the earth today is something that was birthed by Him. He's the author of this. He's the creator of who we are. God created you. He created man in His own image. Say that with me. I've been created in the image of God. The difficult part for us to accept as man is that statement, because we see by our flesh what we are in contrast to what God says we are. And that the struggle begins in us and actually ends in us. The struggle is this: do we really believe what God said we are? If we do believe that, then it opens the door for us to become that. Yeah. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith first begins in the heart of man. Yes. By the word of the Lord comes to impregnate your heart with a seed that can transform you. We're transformed by the seed of God that's been planted in our heart by faith. Amen? So in spite of what I see this morning, with my natural mind, I accept God, what God has said about me spiritually. What God has spoken over my life, I believe that in spite of the evidence of my flesh. Amen? Say, I believe God more than I believe the things around me. So when we come to the conclusion that God has created us to be conformed to an image, the image is His Son. When you become part of Christ, in Christ, when you become in Christ, you begin to take on a DNA of someone different than what you've known. It's the DNA of the Father begins to be put inside of you. Amen? Sometimes I wonder, and maybe you do too, if I could just surrender a little bit more to that DNA, to that thought life, to that purpose. If I could just somehow get just further into this than what I've been into it, everything would be okay. Amen. But guess what? You're further into it than you know. Because God, what God put in you is not some partial revelation of who He is. When He brought you forth in this, He predestined you to become part of the firstborn among you, the Christ in you, becoming the firstborn in you, predestining you, calling you, justifying you, glorifying you together with Him. So you've been raised up to become joint heirs with Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
And after you get into this, it's going to give you an oomph. Everybody say oomph. It's like that moment of revelation that comes that says, got it. There it is. Got it. The devil is very fearful of people getting it. Let's think about this. What scares the devil? You. Getting it. Realizing it. Knowing it. Knowing who you are. Knowing that there's a Christ in you that's greater than the world. That nothing is impossible for those that believe. That's what scares the devil. Is all of a sudden God's people becoming enlightened to who they are. God's people becoming purpose driven to reveal a kingdom to the earth. Amen. We are your sons, Lord. Called by your name. He is our Father. We are His sons. We are His chosen ones. We're the precious ones, the anointed ones, the glorified ones, the holy ones, the household of God, the triumphant testimony of who Christ is laying before us this morning. Because it's for you that He came, that He gave His life. It's for you that He came to redeem and to bring you forth into His glorious liberty and His freedom. So God's purpose is to bring a kingdom. You know, in the Old Testament, or in the old way of the Jewish tradition, they said God is one. And it's, you know, we're coming in an hour this day where we can, as the church, say we're one with Him. Just He is, as He is, so are we also upon the earth. We're understanding that how the love of God that was given to us by the Father that's been shed abroad into our hearts, how that love has created us to be one with Him. And that we're coming out of this battle zone of confusion where we didn't understand what God's love was to us. And I like what Ephesians says, that we may know the love of God, that we may be filled with the fullness of this. Understanding that the kingdom of God is that which God mirrors to us from the Father. So this is the kingdom. I'm going to show it to you. And when you look at it, you're going to become like this. You know, our heart becomes an illustration, a reflection of the Father to the earth. Everybody say, I'm a reflection of the Father. Wow. My goodness. The one thing that Christ did that was so beautiful was he allowed himself to receive everything the Father wanted to give him. What's the first step in your transition? Is your submission to allowing God to be to you what he wants to be. How do you become one with someone else? You have to allow that person into your life to be to you what God wants them to be to you. You transform because something else comes into the space that you've been occupying. Because typically what we do, we build our own space and we protect it because we don't want anything to invade that space that would challenge the position that we're in. But it's only when we allow our space to be invaded can we become something different than what we are. Well, the name of the new Star Trek movie is called The Force. Star Wars movie. What did I call it? Star Trek movie. You see what generation I'm living in. Star Wars movie is The Force Awakens. Well, the church needs to have the Force awaken. Amen? Because when the Force is with us, we're transformed by that Force. Amen? When we cry, show me your glory, we're saying, Lord, let there be the Force of God in the midst of us to transform us. Because we know very well that if we transform by any other pattern than the Force of God, all we'll get is some religious pattern. But when the Spirit of the Lord comes, then we become the sons of God. When the Spirit of the Lord comes and God invades your space, what comes along with the transmittal of the Spirit? See, when you transform electricity, is transformed from point A to point B, there's a conduction that takes place, isn't there? To get the electricity from its source to its end place of use. And God's saying, I want to get what I have into you. And what's the conduit of God's presence? It's His love. His love is an invasive force that presses on us to accept Him. If you really want to see something happen in the way you approach people, is that you love them like crazy. Because if you can love, if they'll give you the chance to love them long enough, you'll finally be able to invade their space. It's kind of like one thing pressing into the other. My love, see, God so loved us that He pressed that love into us by demonstration. And He's relentless in how much He loves us. He never stops loving us. He's always loved us. He always will love us. He never will stop loving us. His grace is unending in His supply to us. God has no need in what He has. He's the answer for everything that we need. He wants to so fill you up. He said He wants to fill you up with His fullness. What's the purpose of you being full? So you can jump up in church and say, hey, I'm full. No, so you can show the fullness of God to the earth. You can let the fullness of God come out of you. Because That love that God gave us means nothing until someone receives it and gives it out to someone else. And Lord, let our church become more aggressive in love. Love is what motivates us to heal the sick, raise the dead, transform society, influence our neighbor, uphold our brother. That's what transforms the world, is the love of God demonstrated, established through us. It's the love of God that covers sin. It's the love of God that removes sin. It's the love of God that restores from sin. It's what it takes to transform the world that we're in. It's God's love. It's the love of God that creates unity in the brethren. And we preach a lot about unity here, and I know some of you, it hair lips you to hear about unity, because you don't want to be told about unity, because you want your space. If I give you my space, then I'm no longer who I am. That's the purpose. God doesn't want you to be who you are anymore. He wants to make you who He is. He doesn't withhold anything. Wouldn't it be frustrating to come to the altar and say, Lord God, I just really need you today. I need the touch of God. I need the forgiveness. I need help. And the Lord say, well, you know, I'm kind of busy today. Come back tomorrow. Today's my day. Today's my time. Today is my season. The Lord doesn't treat us that way, does He? He in no way will cast us out. Come to the Lord, and He will always have a place for you. Always. He's never on vacation. Some people take vacations from God. They take vacations from responsibility. They take vacations from commitment. They take vacations from being stressed. They take vacations from just so they can take a vacation. I mean, I love vacations, but I never want to take a vacation from who I am in God. Amen? It's amazing. When I take a vacation, I don't want to be going off into some place where no longer am I, God has access to me, or people have access to me. My vacation is to simply refocus my intention and purpose. Amen? We're not checking out of this world, are we? We're checking in. We're here to do the will of God, the one who sent us. Because we, the creation of God, become the creators of what God wants to do upon the earth. Just as He made me in His image, so now I can declare that image to others. I can release them from their futility, their bondage. That's what Romans 8 talks about. We had a good series on futility a while back, but the whole world is trapped in its futility. And the Lord said He's bringing forth His sons to release them from the futility of this age. He's going to bring His people forth to release the earth from its futility. Are you about getting ready for the trees of the field to clap their hands? Amen. God's releasing that spirit back to us to create and to release. Man. Are y'all here this morning, or are you taking a vacation? Amen. Oh, my goodness. Jingle bells. In order to create something, you need a purpose behind it. How many are you, give out Christmas presents to your children and they have blueprints of whatever the toy is or the thing they're doing? You hope they have a blueprint anyway. You don't want them to have to ask you how to do it. But there's a purpose in what God gives us. He gave you that love that you have for a reason. He's given you a Christmas gift for a reason.
Yes.
And that reason is to create oneness upon the earth, to create unity, to absolutely commit yourself to being one with the purpose. That's how you become great. It's weird how that works. It's somehow in losing our life, we actually find it.
Yes.
Somehow in denying ourselves, we actually become ourselves.
Yeah.
Somehow in sacrifice, we're rewarded.
Yeah.
It's incredible how it works.
Yes.
Somehow, when we sow, we reap.
Yeah.
How does that happen? How does it happen that we give something away, but all of a sudden we have more than what we had before? That's crazy, isn't it? The world thinks you're crazy. When you tell people, I go to church, they say, what do you give? Yeah, I tithe or I give offerings. You're crazy. Look what you could be doing with that money you're giving. Look what you could be doing with that time you're spending down there at that church house. You're crazy. You mean you go to church 2 hours on Sunday when the whole world goes 45 minutes? Why would you give 2 hours? Because you know what you're getting because of what you gave. It's causing you to become great. And it's weird how it works, isn't it? That somehow a life that's given becomes a life that's rewarded.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes, awesome.
Somehow this thing where everyone looks at you and mocks you, you can smile and say, mock all you want, because God is going to do something great in my life.
That's good. Thank you.
Amen. And God is doing something great in my life. Greater than you could ever imagine.
Yes.
And that's how Jesus felt, I'm sure, because the devil tempted him and said, why don't you establish yourself, Jesus, and make yourself great upon the earth? And Jesus said, I didn't come to do that. I've come to do the will of someone else. You're crazy, Jesus. Why are you doing the will of someone else when your will would be so powerfully spent, demonstrated to the earth? Jesus said, my will is to do the will of the one who sent me, because the one who sent me is going to create in me his greatness. Because it's through my humility and my yieldedness to that one that sent me that now he's going to exalt me and give me a name that's above every name and make me the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isn't it amazing then that God takes you and lifts you up to be seated with him in heavenly places as you come into that same heart that he had? Wow. Good stuff. It is, isn't it?
Yes.
Get ready for your greatness to happen in your life.
Yes.
Get ready to be used like you've never been used. Get ready for the purpose to come to you like you've never had and give you passion in your life to change your life.
Yes.
Because you see the destiny of who you are. And by following him, by yielding to him, by loving him, by submitting your heart to him, you'll be found in him for eternity, in his spirit, one with him. What I'm telling you this morning is how to be successful in 7 easy steps. Step 1, turn to the Lord. Step 2, get closer to God. Step 3, yield to God. Step 4, submit to God. Step 5, love the Lord. Amen. Step 6, keep pressing in further in what you're doing right now. Step 7, enter in to the fullness of what God has for you. Hallelujah. Step by step, moment by moment, you get closer and closer to the one you seek. Closer you get to Him, the more you become like Him. See, if you're going through a lot of confusion in your life, a lot of unanswered questions, a lot of seeking and trying to find your purpose, a lot of anxiety over what's going to happen to you, there's only one reason why. You're walking the opposite direction of the one who gives purpose. Because the closer you get to Him, the less arguments there are to make, or the less reasons there are to complain. Because the more you're hid in Christ, the more you become like Christ, the more your motivation changes to where now it's no longer about you, but it's about the purpose that God called you to fulfill. See, as long as it's about you, you're going to be filled with all manner of confusion. But when it comes about Him, it takes all the questions out of the thing. Doesn't mean you still have problems, challenges, you do. But they become so insignificant to the destiny and the purpose. Wouldn't you like your problems to become insignificant to you? Wouldn't you like for the devil to become a little bitty devil and then have a great big God? Amen? Don't let the devil be the big devil to you. Don't let the devil rule your mind. Let God be God in the midst of you. Great as He is in the midst of you. Let Him be exalted in the midst of you. And that will change you. Wow. Well, about halfway through the message, I just got this feeling. The Lord told me to say to you, I'm going to give you a success message this morning. Amen. How many would like to be successful in life? Amen. Where's my Korean girls at? Oh, there they are. Hi. Y'all bless me, inspire me this morning. Oh, I love Korea. Y'all got to be nice to me, by the way, because if you're not, I'm going to move to Korea. Amen. Sue said she'd go with me, too. I got spoiled in Korea. Amen. It's easy. It'd be easy to go back for a while. Next time for a month, okay? Next, Korea for a month. Amen. You can have New York, Bill Vanderbush. I'm going to Korea. Amen. Woo. See, the only thing that I can really do is just find a way I can disappear into Him. Just disappear into Him. Paul said, my life is hidden with Christ. He was like enveloped with the Lord. It's the same thing in human relationships where our spirits become one. It's just becoming, just disappearing into the heart of someone else. Loving that person so much that nothing can separate you ever from each other. You know, I thank God that there's people in this church that never separate from. I could never separate from you guys, Paul and Deborah. I guess we're in this for life.
Sorry.
Amen. I'm sorry too, but J.R. and Dora, I'm in this for life with you guys. Amen. I want to know you better than I know you. I want to love you more than I love you. I'm in it for life. Everybody say, God for life.
God for life.
For life. No turning back. It's not hard, is it? It's easy.
Right.
It's hard when you hold back. It makes it hard then. It's hard to find relationships. It's hard to find oneness. It's hard to find acceptance. It's hard to feel that you're part of something. As long as you feel like it's hard. But see, once you get into what it is, once you immerse yourself into it, then it becomes the most natural thing there is.
That's right.
To be one. When my family comes over to the house, son and daughter and their spouses, grandchildren, I don't have to reintroduce myself to them and say, "Hey, remember me? I'm Papa. Hey, I'm Daddy. Hey, remember, you don't remember, but you were born into this family. You don't really understand, but you're really part of me." No, I don't have to say that. They just know it because we're one. We're in the Spirit. So this is the way it is in the body of Christ. We're one. We're a people. We're a nation. We're a family. We're not estranged from one another. We're not strangers and aliens and pilgrims from each other. We're part of the household of God. We're forever joined together in spirit. One people, one spirit, one mind, one heart. We might not all share the same location. Sue and I went to the service in Shiloh, Iowa last month, and for that memorial service for Marilyn Hargrave, people I hadn't seen in 40 years. And we were still one.
Amen.
In spirit, because we have the same Father.
That's right.
So people were here last week from Los Angeles, two medical doctors. One man, the man who's a medical doctor at Johns Hopkins University, known since 1973. I saw him. We're still one. His wife was graduated USC Medical School in 1978 with honors. She said, you were my pastor in 1979 in Los Angeles, California. We're still one.
Wow.
See, what's what God gives us is oneness.
Yes, he does.
Of spirit. Oneness of purpose, because we're all his sons. We're all born according to his purpose upon the earth. We've all been predestined by God to be raised up with God, to be joint heirs with him, to be glorified with him, so we can all say, "Abba, Father." We are one with you. We are one with one another. And the world sees that. They say, "Wow, look at these people. Crazy as they may be, they go to church on 2 hours on Sunday. Some even make it Friday night. They meet in homes together. They call each other on the phone. They act like they're crazy in love with each other. Wow, look at these people. We want what they have. We want to be part of the family." That's what God is telling us at COP and all over the nation and all over the world in the church. Be a family so the world can see what a family is. A family that God loves, that God cherishes. Just like a husband loves his wife, Christ loves the church, and he cherishes it. He honors it. He covets it to be one with him. To be blood of his blood, bone of his bone. To be everything that he is in that one. It's beautiful. Husband, love your wives. This is Christ, verse 25 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. Love the church. He gave himself for it. He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So husbands, love your wives as their own bodies. Who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Wow. God's nourishing us and cherishing us this morning.
Hallelujah.
Just as the Lord does the church.